Our scripture reading this morning is taken from two beloved psalms. We read first Psalm 91, and secondly, the 23rd Psalm. Our text this morning is found in Psalm 23, the fourth verse. These are both psalms that emphasize our security and safety in Jehovah, our covenant God. We hear the word of God in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. We turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text this morning is found here in Psalm 23, the fourth verse. Verse 4, where we read, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, nearly 3,000 years ago, David, the young son of Jesse, cared for his father's flocks in the hills surrounding Bethlehem. David encountered some rather frightening, hair-raising experiences in defense of his father's flock. When he stood before King Saul prior to his encounter with the Philistine giant Goliath, David described his experiences. We read of that in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 36. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. History records numerous incidents of shepherds encountering wild animals, or thieves, sometimes having to surrender their lives in defense of the flock. The one difference between these accounts and the promises given by the great shepherd is that our Lord can never be overwhelmed by any enemy. And that's why David, in this beloved soul-strengthening verse, was able to find comfort, even though he knew very well that there were many dangers and hardships ahead. And from that point of view, we see a change in this familiar psalm here at verse 4. Notice that up to this point, it seems that the sheep has been speaking to others of the excellent care it received from its shepherd. The psalmist confesses that Jehovah is his shepherd, that he does not want, he has no lack. This shepherd makes him lie down in green pastures and leads him beside the still waters. All his wants and needs are completely fulfilled. His shepherd leads and guides him in the way of everlasting righteousness. And in that way, his soul is restored from all unrest and misery. So up to this point, all seems bliss, peace, joy, contentment. But now in verse 4, the psalmist begins, "Yea, though," or literally, "even though." Yes, David has pointed out that the Lord's protection and guidance are easily assumed when we are by the still waters, the waters of resting places. But now he is emphasizing the fact that we may rejoice in Jehovah's leadership and protection even though our journey takes us through the darkest and the most threatening experiences of life. Notice, too, that we see this transition here in the psalm from the fact that now the sheep speaks intimately to his shepherd. And we have the personal pronouns I and thou entering the conversation. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, our shepherd guides and protects us. We find comfort in Jehovah, the God of our salvation. And it's in this light that we consider our text this morning under the theme, Protected by Our Shepherd. And we notice, first of all, our need of protection, and secondly, our comfort in Jehovah. Both in the land of Palestine, as well as on the larger sheep ranches in Western United States and Canada as well, the efficient sheepmen endeavor to take their flocks unto distant, rich mountain pastures during the summer. That often involved quite a lengthy journey, a very difficult, dangerous journey in some respects. The hill country of Judah, broken up by narrow and precipitous valleys and ravines through which one must go in order to get up to the good mountain pastures. The valleys abound with caves and dens which provide perfect hiding places for both wild beasts and robbers. There are dangers of rampaging rivers, flash floods, avalanche, terrible storms. And this all makes plain what the psalmist means when he speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We must understand at the outset that David is not speaking only about the day of our death. Our text is often limited to that. But it's not so that in the previous verses we see that the wants and needs of this present life are taken care of, and that now our text concerns our death, that even then our shepherd will take care of us. Oh, that's true, of course, but our text means much more than that. Not only is he with me when I make that final journey, when I'm on my deathbed, but he is with me throughout all my life here on earth. And that latter is really on the foreground here. The point is that all through our earthly life, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. All of Scripture teaches that we lie in the midst of death, that we die every day, that we carry about with us the body of this death. David is not merely referring to our physical death, but to all the dark and bitter experiences of our lives. Notice we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Our text doesn't say that we stop there, that that's the end, that we die there, but rather, I walk through, and our walk is our entire life, our whole pilgrim journey in the midst of this world. Notice we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. The prophet Jeremiah uses this language in his prophecy in chapter 2, verse 6. We read there, "Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, but led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and," notice, "of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt." We have that too in Psalm 44, verse 19, where we read, "Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death." So the sense of this expression is plainly a blend of imminent danger, possible death. Now there are those who have made light of this notion and these dark experiences. After all, the text speaks only of the shadow of death. And it's been said that only fools and children are afraid of shadows. After all, the shadow of a sword can't cut. The shadow of a dog won't bite. But one who has actually walked through the valleys would not utter such foolishness. For where there is a shadow, there is, of course, a reality. And if I should see the shadow of a large dog with its bared teeth coming toward me, I would not remain still and at ease simply because I could not yet see the dog itself. Common sense would tell me that the shadow is being produced by something, and my suspicion would be that it was an actual dog about to attack. It's from this point of view, beloved, that it's very dangerous to make light of the dangers and adversities that we encounter in life. That's true spiritually. Satan, that roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he might devour, is a deadly enemy. And the whole world of unbelief sets itself against us on every side. And we have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. our sinful nature that would carry us as close to the danger as possible. Spiritually, the dangers are very real. And the adversities of this life are very real, aren't they? We know. Affliction, suffering, sorrow, hardships, trials and tribulations, death itself. And we sometimes wonder, to even ask, why? Why do we have to walk this path, this frightening way through the valley of the shadow of death? Oh, some would answer, you don't have to. You don't have to. They proclaim a gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity, success. The Christian life is a bed of roses. If only your faith be strong enough, be not deceived. The valley is real. The shadow of death is real. Why? Why do we have to bear such burdens? The fears, the cares, the afflictions, the sorrows, infirmities of age, the loneliness, death itself. Why? Of course, our puny, feeble minds cannot fully comprehend the reasons why, while we are yet on this side of the grave. But we are assured by God's Word that it is for our good. It is that we might be molded and shaped, prepared for our place in glory. It is to strengthen our faith in God and to draw us all the nearer to our Shepherd, that we truly take refuge beneath the shadow of His wing. It is to make us realize our dependence upon Him. Really, it all comes down to the fact that our all-wise, all-knowing God, our Shepherd, knows that this is the best way. That's true with regard to sheep as well. The Shepherd knows that the best way to the lush mountain grass is through the valleys. The valleys have the gentlest grades. The valleys are also where there will be springs and streams and pools of water to drink. Also, the richest grass and forage are to be found along that route through the ravines, the canyons, the valleys. The Shepherd slowly but surely takes His flock. Yes, as we've already noted, there are dangers there. He is well aware of them. Predators like coyotes, bears, wolves, cougars can take cover in the surrounding rocky cliffs. The valleys and canyons can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods, but in spite of such hazards, the Shepherd knows that this is still the best way to take His flock. In this connection, I would remind you of one of the characteristics of sheep. For me, this figure of the sheep and their shepherd is one of the most beautiful in Scripture. So true to life. Growing up with sheep for several years of my youth on the farm in Iowa, much experience. It's remarkable that God created that particular animal in the beginning, the sheep. Such an accurate picture of us as His people. In addition to being a rather weak, often foolish, helpless animal, sheep give up quite easily. Very little courage or persistence. When they experience hardship or affliction or danger, often they simply give up, even die. Beloved, that's our nature too. How easily we can be shaken up, upset, frightened, even panicked by the adversities and dangers of life. When those dark shadows of the valley sweep over us and the path we tread looks gloomy, we can be inclined to go into a slump of despair. We can be overwhelmed by a spiritual pessimism. Sometimes we just feel like giving up. Understand, beloved, that David did not speak of the valley of the shadow of death to strike fear into our hearts, to discourage us, but exactly to remind us that our safety and security are found in our shepherd. God never promises immunity from affliction, adversity, sorrow, but He assures us of His grace in time of need. Grace to endure, to stand, to overcome. Think of the Apostle Paul himself, the thorn in the flesh that he bore through the valley. How he prayed repeatedly that the Lord would remove it. The answer in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." We all travel through the valley of the shadow of death. The Good Shepherd Himself assures us that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so the basic question is not whether the valley at this present time is dark or merely dim with the shadow of death. The question is, how do we get through it? How do we cope with the hardships and even the calamities that come our way? And the grand testimony of the psalmist David, in the light of all the potential dangers of the valley of the shadow of death, was, "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Notice carefully, he did not say, "I will encounter no evil." Such a statement would have been contrary to his own experience as well as to the clear teaching of the Scriptures. David did not derive comfort from the weakness of the enemy. No. He did not derive comfort from his own inherent strength. I can handle whatever comes down my path. No. But he was comforted by the fact that the Lord, the Good Shepherd, was with him. And centrally, he is with us in his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. The Good Shepherd has told us, "Lo, I am with you always." When we fully understand the importance of the doctrines of God's omnipresence, that he is everywhere present, and his omnipotence, that he is the Almighty One, and of his faithfulness, there's always a sense of comfort, confidence. These lofty truths are not included in the Psalms simply to round out theological viewpoints. They are there and throughout the Scriptures to strengthen our faith as God's children, to bring comfort. Think for a moment what it means to say with respect to our shepherd, "For thou art with me." One commentator gives a good illustration of the significance of this. He had been excavating ancient tombs at the biblical Heshbon, and he had the opportunity to observe a large, dark cave at the bottom of a ravine. He had entered the cave with a light and a large stick, and he had probed its corners for snakes or scorpions, any possible dangers, and he determined that the cave was perfectly safe. When a young boy from a nearby village came to watch his work, the man invited him into the cave, but the young lad refused to enter, noting the darkness before him, the uncertainty of the situation. Well, the man encouraged him and reminded him that he had already been in the cave and that there were no dangers present. It was safe, but nothing would change the boy's mind. But soon the boy's father came by, and looking at the cave, he said to his son, "Let's go inside and examine the work." And to the man's amazement, the boy, without hesitation, took his father's hand and walked into the cave. He didn't blink an eye. Later, he asked the boy why he had changed his mind, and he simply said, "My father's here. I'm not afraid." And beloved, that's precisely the sentiment of our text. We need not fear, because our Father's here. Jehovah, our Shepherd, is with us. The presence of the Lord has provided encouragement for His saints throughout the ages. Think of Jacob at Bethel, alone in the night, having fled from home on his way to Haran, to his uncle Laban. The Lord promised, "I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Recall the Lord's word to Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 5, as Joshua stood on the east bank of the Jordan River, ready to lead that great throng of Israelites into the land of promise, the Lord strengthened him with these words, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so when the Lord Jesus commissioned his disciples, he encouraged them with the words, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that makes all the difference. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. The presence of our shepherd is a source of strength and courage unto us. Look back upon your own life and see how the shepherd's hand has upheld you and sustained you even through the darkest hours. Reflect on your Heavenly Father's faithfulness in every crisis, in every frightening circumstance of life. Has not His grace always been sufficient? No, it's not easy. Sometimes it's a very difficult lesson to learn. The disciples of Christ had to learn that lesson too. Think of their great fear when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee in the terrible storm with Jesus sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. Jesus calmed the storm and rebuked his disciples. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The disciples had to learn that with Jesus with them, they had no reason to fear any of the storms of life that they would encounter. We must learn that too. So with us, as sheep who may be attacked by predators, threatened by storms, frightened by the circumstances of life, by the darkness of the valley, we need not fear. Our shepherd is with us. And so the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us in chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And as a further explanation, and to further bolster our confidence, David adds the statement, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's the idea here? What were the rod and the staff to which David referred? From the use of these words and our knowledge of Oriental shepherding, we can conclude that these refer to two distinct implements or tools. These are really the common and universal equipment of the ancient shepherd. A shepherd boy, from the time he first started tending his father's flock, took special pride in the selection of a rod and a staff, exactly suited to his size and strength. The rod in this context was a shorter stick or club, which was the main weapon of defense for the shepherd and his sheep. A shepherd who had become skilled in the use of the rod could swing it or even throw it with great accuracy. Nowadays, of course, the modern sheepman has other weapons, a rifle or shotgun, to protect his flock from predators. I can recall my father going out sometimes in late in the middle of the night even, with his shotgun to check the sheep, to see whether there were coyotes or stray dogs that would be attacking the sheep. Some years, those predators would take quite a heavy toll. The point is that the shepherd has a means of protection. With his rod, he keeps the flock safe. In addition, the rod was used in the shepherd's hand to examine and count the sheep. The Old Testament refers to this in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 37, as passing under the rod. Passing under the rod. This meant not only coming under the shepherd's control and authority, but also to be subject to his most careful and intimate and first-hand examination. On the other hand, the staff, more than any other item of his personal equipment, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. No one in any other profession or area of farming or agriculture carries a shepherd's staff. It's uniquely an instrument used for the care and management of sheep, and really only sheep. It won't do for working with cattle or hogs or horses. The staff is designed and shaped and adapted especially to the needs of sheep. The staff is essentially a symbol of concern, the compassion that a shepherd has for his sheep. Whereas the rod conveys the concept of authority, of power, of discipline, of defense against danger, the staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. As you likely know, a shepherd's staff is usually a rather long, slender stick with a crook or a hook on one end. It was selected with care by the owner, shaped and smoothed and cut to best suit his own personal use. In addition to leaning upon his staff for support and strength, the shepherd used his staff in the care of his flock. Skilled shepherds of old could use their staff to gently lift up and carry a newborn lamb to set it next to its mother if they became separated. He would use the staff to do that because a lamb with the odor of human hands upon it would often be rejected by its mother. In the same way, a shepherd could use the staff to reach out and catch an individual sheep, young or old, and draw them close to examine. The staff would also be used for guiding the sheep. With his staff, the shepherd could gently prod the sheep into a new path or through a certain gate or along a difficult route. With his staff, the shepherd could often reach a sheep which had fallen into a hole or off the edge of a small cliff. And so we see that the rod and the staff are the symbols of the well-prepared shepherd. They provide him with clear identity in the light of Jehovah's sovereign power. The mere presence of the rod and the staff was enough to bring comfort to David. They symbolized the greatness of his shepherd. They confirmed his identity. They represented to him the protection and the security, the care he so desperately needed. Even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he had comfort, the comfort of belonging to the faithful shepherd, our Savior. Do you have that comfort? Jehovah God sent His only begotten Son, the Good Shepherd, yea, to lay down His very life for His sheep. Do you have that wonderful assurance of knowing your shepherd is with you? The calm, quiet confidence in the knowledge that He is there day by day, yea, moment by moment, to direct even the most insignificant circumstances of our daily lives, that He is there to protect, to sustain us, to preserve us in all our way through the valley of the shadow of death. There, even causing all things to work together for our good. That's comfort. Comfort that is ours with Jehovah as our shepherd. And then our way in the midst of this world is not so bad. Perhaps it appears, even at the present time, like a dark, potentially dangerous cave. Our shepherd is with us. Our great God will shepherd us through the valley, even unto death. That means simply that from the moment of our birth to the moment of our death, God will be with us. He never leaves or forsakes us, not for a split second. He cares for us to the very end. Because that's true, no one, nothing can be against us. No one, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All things are for us. Even death is for us. Oh, I know. Death is horrible from every human point of view, often preceded by great sufferings. And what is worse, death is the expression of the wrath of God against sin. Death is part of the curse. It's no wonder that the apostle refers to death as the last enemy in 1 Corinthians 15. But all that has been changed. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The victory of the cross, the victory of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer is death the end. Death is the beginning of perfect joy and peace, fellowship with our shepherd, our thrice holy God in glory. God will be our help through all our way through the valley of the shadow of death. He will guide us even through death, and through death take us to the glory of His presence. Then we see that even though we continue now in the week which lies before us, our walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what the psalmist says is true. As we sing from Psalm 77, Thy way was in the sea, O God, through mighty waters deep and broad, none understood but God alone. To man Thy footsteps were unknown, but safe Thy people Thou didst keep, almighty Shepherd of Thy sheep. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, Thou our almighty Shepherd, we thank Thee for Thy word. Press it upon our hearts. By Thy Spirit, we pray that we may go forth also in the week which lies before us, even through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, for Thou art with us. We ask this with the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing together Psalter number 211. 211. From Psalm 77, the third stanza, the one I just quoted. But save thy people, thou didst keep, almighty shepherd of thy sheep. We sing the three stanzas, all three, number 211. Face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.